All right. Well, welcome to another episode of the Music Inspired Media Podcast Show. I am your host, Shane Christopher Neal, right here on MusicLifeMagazine.net. And by the way, every single Monday, a brand new episode, MusicLifeMagazine.net. So you're asking, how can I listen to past podcasts? Well, that's real easy. Go to MusicLifeMagazine.net/podcasts, and they're all there right from the beginning of the year. We've had a lot of great guests, and I hope that if you haven't listened to them yet, that you'll make sure that you log on and check them out. A very special guest on today's Music Inspired Media Podcast Show, and this goes back to May of 2018, which isn't so long ago. And I was a day host at Canadian Music Week in Toronto. I am every year, and I meet the greatest people and the greatest artists and just the greatest people in the industry. And I was hanging out with a gentleman by the name of Andre Caden Black a little bit. And if you don't know who Andre Caden Black is, not only is he a great producer and songwriter, he also was on this very podcast show back a couple of months ago, which you can check out. And with Andre was this young lady who definitely stood out primarily at the time because her hair was green. And it still kind of is green. So it was, wow, it kind of just stuck out. And then when I introduced myself to her, a very dynamic individual, and never heard her sing, didn't know much about her. Her name was Christy. That's all I knew. And I knew that she had been working with Andre on some things coming up this year in 2018. So I decided a couple of months after that, maybe a month after that, to head down to Toronto to the Horseshoe Tavern. And Christy was playing there. She was playing, I think it was on a Wednesday night. And I met Andre for dinner. We went to see her play. And wow, just blew the doors off the place at the Horseshoe. A great talent, a great songwriter, a lot of energy, a lot of attitude. And she really has some great music. And I'm telling you right now, she is going to be a Canadian music sensation. In fact, she could even become a global music sensation with the right people behind her. Let's check it out. Right now, joining me on the Music Inspired Media Podcast Show, Christy Palazzo. Check it out. It's up next right here on MusicLifeMagazine.net.
Welcome to the Shane Christopher Neal Podcast. Shane's a TV and radio personality, international event host, A&R label rep, co-founder of BS Live Rocks Entertainment Group, an all-around epic guy. This podcast is sponsored by Music Life Magazine. Check out all Shane's podcasts at musiclifemagazine.net. So much to talk about with so little time. Here's your host, Shane Christopher Neal.
All right, we're going to dive right into this conversation. One, so we can correct all the things I screwed up in the intro, which is my favorite part when you pre-record something. Christy Palazzolo is on the phone. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And I don't know what the hell I said in that intro, but it doesn't matter now because we've corrected it. So it's all good now.
Yes, it's all good. I'm very happy you got there.
Now, the other point of conversation here is that I really don't know what color your hair is. And I thought it could be green, but now it might be blue. Or is it changed? Or is it just my bad eyes because I'm old?
You know what? It's a little bit of everything at this point. I'm not even sure anymore. It starts out as blue and then it sort of fades into green. And I leave it for a while, and then I re-dye it, and then it's blue. So, bluish-green works.
How long have you done that for? Like, has it been something that you've had for a long time? Like, you and I just met this year, right? So I don't know. Has this been something that is new in your life, or is it something that you've always done?
Well, I've been dyeing my hair for probably the past 4 years, but it's been that, like, bluey-green color for the past 2 years.
And we are going to get to music, I promise you, but why such a dynamic, like, it's like, wow, like, you don't just do it like I'm gonna kind of be blonde for a week or I might go black, you know, like, you're like way out there.
Oh, well, I don't know why. To be honest, like, I tried a whole bunch of different colors in my hair, but that was just the one that always stuck with me. It's more of like a teal color, you know.
Yes.
It's not really blue, it's not really green, it's kind of like in the middle, and then when it fades it turns into the green color. But yeah, I don't know, like, I always came back to that color. I just like it the best for some reason. I always gravitated back to it. So,
well, you definitely stand out, and your music stands out as well. So let's go with that. Talk about your growing up, because your family was an important part of you being a musician, right? And kind of getting to where you're at today. So maybe speak a little bit about that to set the scene.
Sure. I mean, like, my family is the whole reason that I got started in any of this, really. I've been involved in it as long as I can remember. Like, my dad sort of got my siblings and I started in music when, since we were born, pretty much. So started playing piano and singing at a super young age. And my aunts and uncles on my dad's side and all my cousins are all involved in music. Like, they're in bands and they either teach music or are involved in it somehow. So it's kind of cool. I've been kind of growing up with it and everything. And but it's interesting because I'm the only sibling out of my immediate family that has, like, pursued music. So I always like to kind of look back at that and wonder why. It's pretty interesting to me. So.
No, they look at you and say, what the hell's wrong with you?
Right. Yeah.
So you mentioned piano. Now you post a lot of stuff on Instagram where you're playing piano and you're singing. And yes. I know you play guitar as well. Is piano the first instrument you kind of learned, or?
Yep. So I started with piano. I actually, I learned that when I was super, super young, probably when I was 3, he started me with piano lessons and stuff. So my dad sort of taught me how to play in the beginning, and I have to take piano lessons, which, you know, nobody likes to do when you're growing up.
It's not cool at all.
No, it's not. It's just awful. But it's funny because as you grow up, you kind of, like, I've been gravitating back to it and trying to, you know, relearn theory and kind of reteach myself the concepts that I should have learned a long time ago. But when you're young, you know, you don't want to sit there and practice. Nobody likes to do that when you're little.
Clearly,
but,
no.
Yeah. So, yeah, I started out with piano, and then a couple years ago, I kind of went back to it and sort of brushed up on everything and taught myself how to play guitar after, too. It just kind of helped with the whole songwriting thing, you know? You have better options.
Right. Now, do you write mostly, though, on the piano, or does it depend?
Honestly, it's both. Like, I mean, I started writing on piano because at the time it was the only instrument that I knew. But, you know, I noticed I kind of wanted to learn guitar or something else just so I had better options when I was songwriting. And so when I learned how to play guitar, I started writing songs on guitar as well. So I kind of go back and forth. I don't really stick to just one.
So you're a songwriter and a singer and obviously a player of guitar and piano, but you obviously started out playing cover songs, correct? So like most people. So how long have you now been an artist? And I'm sure you still get shows to play cover songs, but how long have you been writing your own material now? Because you have one EP already out, correct? And you're working on your second. So how long have you been an original artist, we'll call it?
Well, I've been pursuing it and doing it professionally, like, probably the last 5 years. But I mean, I've always been writing songs. I just, you know, it took me a while to kind of gain the confidence to, you know, release them and let people hear them. But, I've been songwriting forever. You know, my songs were not very good, obviously, when I was younger, but I've always written songs, and it probably wasn't until, like I said, the last 5 or so years where I finally started actually demoing them at my dad's studio and then, you know, deciding that this is what I want to do as my career, and then, you know, taking it to the next level and completing the first EP and, you know, got the ball rolling from there.
What influences you to write songs? And I don't want to hear life experiences because I'm fucking tired of hearing that. So I need something new, something I can use here, like something that, like, when you sit down and you're at the piano or playing guitar, and I know that is a factor, but what kind of influences you to write songs, and who are some of your influences that you kind of listen to and look up to?
Okay, well, I'll try to not give a generic answer. You know what, this is the honest to God truth. Like, I write songs, you know, it's definitely about life experiences, but most of the time when I'm going through something, I always find myself, like, trying to look for a song that I can listen to that, like, completely mirrors what I'm going through, right? And because, you know, most artists, they kind of gravitate to music when they're going through something. And for me, like, I remember I kind of started writing songs around the time that I would look for a specific song that would kind of help me through something, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find, like, a song that would be exactly what I was going through, so I had no choice but to write a song that kind of helped me. And it's kind of the same today. Like, that's exactly what I do. Whenever I go through something, I make sure that I write a song that kind of helps me through that hard time, you know, if I can't find it. As for influences, like, oh my God, I have so many, but my biggest one for songwriting and just, like, personality in general would be probably Avril Lavigne. She was my biggest one. when I was growing up. So
really, eh?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I mean, she's a great songwriter.
Love me some Avril.
And I think she's writing an album right now, I think.
Yeah.
I heard.
She is.
It's not
with
Chad Kroeger either. No.
No, yeah, no. We left him out of it. No, but you know what? When I was young, because I think she first came out when I was like in grade 5 or something. And and obviously, I'm so young, you know, at that time. But I remember when she came out and I just like, I loved everything about her. She was so different and just, she kind of embraced the fact that she was different than everybody else, especially in pop music back then. So yeah, I don't know. I loved everything about her. I love that she was totally herself on stage and she just did not care. I don't know. So she was my number one influence for sure.
How would you describe like the style that you have? Pop, pop rock? What kind of, do you have something you specifically call your music? I mean, it's very radio friendly, mm-hmm. but like what kind, how do you categorize that?
I would definitely categorize it as pop rock for sure. And I think a lot of the rock influences, in my vocals as well. Like I also grew up with rock music too, just from my dad. Like I have that rock and roll influence from him cause he was a rock and roll guy. And so I grew up with a lot of rock music and I used to sing a lot of rock songs too, like Heart and Pat Benatar and all that kind of stuff. So I think vocally, like I have a little bit of that rock edge in my vocals, and songwriting is pop for sure, but I kind of like, I mix the two together sort of. But
so does your dad still play, and does he play with you at all? Does he write with you at all, or?
It's funny. We've never written together before. But he does everything. I don't know. He's crazy. I don't know. He's a songwriter. He's a multi-instrumentalist, producer. He's everything. And it's crazy. You know, like a lot of my influence comes from him too. Right. But yeah, we've never actually written anything together, but, we did have a little like duo thing going on for a while where we would kind of like book gigs together and we would play together, like, you know, cover tunes and even some of my original stuff. And so that was pretty cool. And, but he also kind of helped me get started out too, right, with my first recordings and stuff. Like I said earlier, we kind of demoed all my original stuff at his studio.
Right.
So yeah, he's kind of been along the process with me the whole time.
And
so.
who produced the first EP?
So that was actually by Marty Bach at SLR Studios in Windsor. He was my first like major producer that did the first EP for me. So we got hooked up with him after, you know, because you work with your dad and it's, you know, it's great because he's awesome and he's kind of showed me everything up until this point. But you get to a point where you're like, okay, well, I need to kind of branch out and work with other people, obviously, and allow myself to grow a little bit. And so I got hooked up with Marty after, and then the first EP was born.
So. You know, we're going to take a break in a sec, but sure. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Light It Up. We're going to talk about playing in Windsor at the festival, the Strawberry Festival, and what you're kind of going to be, you know, kind of getting into in the next remainder of the year mm-hmm. with music. But before we do that, interesting, you said earlier that when you wrote songs at the beginning, you know, they weren't probably very good, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And when I read some stuff about you and you talk about confidence and you talk about how you lacked confidence and mm-hmm. and maybe you still do, because I think we all do no matter what, mm-hmm. right? I think we kind of come across as the consummate professional when we have to, but I think there's always some point of weakness that we have. You know,
Absolutely.
How did you get through those moments when you lack confidence, and where's your confidence now? How do you feel when you're, whether it's with your songwriting or performing? Because you're an amazing performer, very dynamic.
Thank you. You know, I got to say, like what you said, you kind of, you know, you highlighted it perfectly. I think everybody still has a little bit of confidence issues, even when they're on stage and it looks like they got it all going on. I think, you know, deep down, everyone has a little bit of that. And I think growing up, my confidence issues, I think, just stemmed from everything. Like, I mean, the main thing with music was just my whole family was involved in it. And I think, I don't actually know if this is it or not, but, you know, looking back on it, I think, you know, it might have been the fact that I was afraid that I wouldn't be, like, you know, up to their standards.
Right.
Because
yeah,
they're
makes
all
sense.
So amazing, right? And I think growing up with that, you're kind of like, ooh, I don't know if I want to even touch this because they're all so awesome, right? And they kind of have a name for themselves in my hometown. So I think that kind of started it for me. And then, you know, just growing up in school, like, I wasn't the best, you know, academic kid ever either. Like, you know, I struggled in school a little bit. And so
I was horrible. School sucked.
Oh, yeah. Like, just the worst. So I think I struggled to kind of find my place and what I was good at. And I always came back to music, you know, on the side when I was by myself. I always wrote songs and I always sang, but I just didn't have the confidence to show anybody. And I think in all other aspects of my life, I was kind of feeling like I wasn't good enough, you know, whether it was school or whatever else. And I just think I was too afraid to show it off, you know.
All right. Well, we're going to come back in just a second. We're going to talk about Light It Up, sure, and a few other things. Christy Palazzolo, this is the Music Inspired Media Podcast Show. All right. You're listening to my very exclusive and intimate conversation with Christy Palazzolo. You can check her out, ChristyPMusic.com. At the end of the interview, she is going to give you her socials. You'll want to follow her, like the stuff that she posts. She really is a dynamic individual and a great singer-songwriter. And if she's playing where you live or where you're visiting, you better check her out, because if not, you're going to deal with me. Truly epic, Christy Palazzolo. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Just a reminder, I have the distinct pleasure of interviewing and talking to so many great people in the music business, both here in Canada and around the globe. Those podcasts are available at musiclifemagazine.net/podcasts. musiclifemagazine.net/podcasts. And they're also available on iTunes. That's right. Stepping it up in the world, Jerry. Check it out on iTunes, the Music Inspired Media Podcast Show. Lastly, if you live in Southern Niagara, you're going to want to check out bsliverocks.com. Bobby Rock and myself have this website, bsliverocks.com. It has all the local events happening here in Southern Niagara. It gives you a listing of the bars and the venues that are hosting the live bands, who's playing there. You can click on the band and find out upcoming shows and all that. It's a really great website, bsliverocks.com. Now, enough of me blabbing. Let's get back to the one and only Christy Palazzolo. All right, so we're back. They've kept us on. I'm so excited. So let's talk about Light It Up, because that kind of, we spoke about the confidence thing beforehand, and Light It Up kind of lends itself to that. So how old's that song right now? I mean, it's a great tune, and I know something that every time I read things about you, that song seems to pop up as a conversation piece.
Yeah, so that I recorded that song last year, and it came out around the same time, actually, last summer for the first time. So it's been around for about a year or so.
Is it your most requested song that you'd play, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, which I always think is interesting. Like, I mean, it's cool when a song means so much to you, and other people obviously love it and they request it. But there's something about it, like when you hear it, it's just so like, you know, like I said, it's kind of like an anthem for me, you know, and I think other people kind of feel that. It comes across and they get it, you know. So
you talk sometimes about the music business and mm-hmm. maybe being accepted in it, but, you know, just the whole realm of what it is, especially today. What are your thoughts at this moment about the music business as you move forward? Do you think it's a place of opportunity for an indie artist? Do you find that because, you know, anybody can put anything anywhere, it makes it a little more difficult, obviously, to get the attention of an audience? What is your take mm-hmm. on the music business right now?
Oh, I mean, that's a tricky question. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's just the kind of thing where, because there's so many different avenues now for artists, you know, whether it's, you know, online releases or anything else, you can literally post yourself up like everywhere,
right,
on every form of social media. And, you know, so it's harder to stand out as an artist, right? Especially if you're someone like me who currently is living in their hometown of Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Like, you know.
Yeah, but you have bluey green hair, so, I mean, you're going to stand out.
So more people should notice me. Like, I don't know. but, yeah, I don't know. I honestly, I think, you know, it's just about continuing on. You know, obviously use those platforms like social media and get yourself out there as much as possible. But for me, like, you know, the goal I try to not, you know, make the goal, you know, I need to be signed to a record label, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. Like, I, as long as I'm moving forward and I'm trying to take those steps in the right direction, for me, that's good enough, right? And as long as I'm working hard and writing and performing and doing what I can, you know, that's really all I can do at this point, right?
So would you, how high would a record label, like, rate for you? Because let's face it, there's good record labels, there's bad record labels, there's good deals, there's bad deals. And you just said, as long as you're moving forward, is it something that your eye is on, or your team of people is trying to, you know, accomplish for you? Or is that something you're just going to, if it stumbles across, you know, your plate, you're going to say, oh, okay, maybe we should look at this? Or, like, how hard are you looking at trying to get yourself signed to a label?
You know what? I think what you just said is exactly right for me. I think if the opportunity comes along and, you know, something like that is in front of me, then obviously I'm going to take a look at it and see if it's the best direction for me. But like I said, it's so hard, you know, trying to chase something that so many other people are chasing. And I feel like, in a way, trying to chase after record labels is just not right, you know, the right way to go for me, at least. Especially considering, like, my genre, like, because I'm a little more pop rock. It's just one of those kind of things that it's not like 100% mainstream right now, right? A lot of it is just, you know, the mainstream pop sound. And so it just depends on what they're looking for, but it's hard to, you know, try to fit yourself into what they're looking for.
You could always become a hip hop artist, and then you're going to get airplay. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe I should pick up rapping. I don't know.
So what defines success for you? Like, where do you get to a point where you, like, are you successful now? Do you think, when I get to this level and this happens, I will be successful? I mean, that's tough for anybody in any career, right? But what to you is the definition of success as an artist?
You know what? If I am able to make a living from this, if I'm able to perform my own original songs and make a living from that, in whatever capacity that may be, to me, that would define success for me. However, just considering how far I've come up until this point, you know, my dad, when I was growing up, he always said, you know, don't always look up the mountain, you know, like, kind of look back behind you and, like, see how far you've come. And when you kind of do things that way, it's, you know, you have a better mindset about your life and kind of your path, where you're going, right?
It's interesting.
And for me, it's, yeah.
Go ahead. No, carry on.
So, yeah, I think that has stuck with me for the last little while as I'm kind of pursuing this career. I kind of just look back at how far I've come in the last couple of years, and it's been pretty far, and I've done some pretty cool things, and I'm really proud of it. So, you know, at this point, it's just, you keep on going and look at how far you've come, and, you know, use that as fuel, right?
What I was going to say to you is that it's funny, because we all do this in the careers we're in, and I have done the same thing and said, you know what, you know, I'm getting nowhere with this, I'm getting nowhere with that. And somebody sat me down and said the exact same thing. Okay, it is now November, and here's all of the things that you've done this year. Did you ever think that you'd be doing that? And I kind of went, shit, no, I guess, yeah, I guess I did all right. But yeah, in the moment, you're never satisfied. Let's face it, right?
Of course not.
Like, if I told you tomorrow you're going to play in front of 10,000 people, you're going to be, oh, this is exciting. But then, you know what? That soon enough is going to be, can I play in front of 30,000 people? Because these 10,000 you know, right? It's always, that's the game of life. But that's an interesting concept, and I think that's smart, is to always look at where you've come from and seen all your accomplishments, because I don't know you from anything other than what I've learned this year, what I've watched, what I've seen you play, and to me, I mean, and I had this conversation with Andre, it's like, you know, this girl is a star, like, and star power is something of its own, because there's a lot of talented people that have no star power, and there's a lot of people that think they have star power, and they may have a look for it, but they don't have the talent. And you seem to marry the two together, you know. So you're very fortunate.
That.
So let's talk about. I mentioned Audrey. So let's talk about Toronto, and let's talk about the fact that, you know, you mentioned living in Windsor, and you are going to move to Toronto, I take it. And how important is that going to be for your career? And when did you make that decision?
Oh, I think it's going to be crucial for me. I think I've known for a really long time that, you know, I need to be in a bigger city where I'm surrounded, you know, by people that are doing the same thing as me. And I've known it for a long time. I think it wasn't too long ago, actually, maybe about a month or so ago, where I finally made the decision, I need to move, I need to get going. And especially since I have new music on the way, it makes sense with the team of people that I'm working with right now. They live there. And
right. And talk about those people if you can, or what you can say about them.
Yeah. So currently I'm working with new producer Andre Caden Black and Cal Weissman of the Ascot Royals. So I've been working with them on my second EP, which has been amazing. And up until this point, I've kind of just been making trips up there, and so I'd go
right
and write with them and record and then come back, and so that's kind of hard to do that for a while. But yeah, definitely moving will definitely help that within the next couple months. So
what is this EP going to be like for you? How does it differ from the first one you put out?
I think I've done a lot of growing personally, and I think when I started writing this second EP, it's a little bit darker and edgier, I guess I could say, and a little more mature than the first EP that I put out. And there's always a learning curve for you, right, between albums. And I think the first one, it was my very first one, so you learn a lot about yourself in that whole process. And as you write, you're growing as a person, throughout the writing process. And second EP definitely showcases that for sure. So
what advice would you give to a younger artist that is starting out and says, I want to be a singer-songwriter and I want to make a living doing this in some way? What would you tell them?
First thing I would tell them is to not compare yourself to anybody else. I think that, and that's something that I've kind of had to learn myself. It's so hard being in this because there's so many artists that are doing the same thing, and everyone's talented. That's the bottom line, right? So instead of looking at everybody else and trying to be what everyone else is, or looking at them and going, "Oh, I wish I was them," or "I wish I was that successful," just be yourself and keep on pressing forward and do everything you can, right? Learn a couple instruments if you can, just to help the songwriting process. And if you aren't the best songwriter, get hooked up with some songwriters and try to learn.
Absolutely.
Right? And just keep pushing forward and keep learning. I think that's the biggest thing for me too, working with people that know more than me, which is hard, right? That can be intimidating, especially to an up-and-coming artist. But I think that's the best thing you can do, put yourself with people who know more than you.
Absolutely. Your website, christypmusic.com, and it's got some videos there and all that. Do you want to plug anything else coming up this summer or anything going on with you and your socials as well would be great?
Yeah, honestly, if people can follow me on my social media, that's the biggest thing for me right now. All my social media is at christypmusic. It's all under the same name, as well as my website. And I normally post show dates and anything that's up and coming on the website and my Facebook page and everything. They're all sort of connected, so that's the biggest thing for me right now. Followers is the biggest thing. So
I've learned it's Christy P, because who the hell says Palazzolo or whatever the hell I called it before too.
Some people struggle just like you did in the beginning.
You know what, two things. First of all, I'm really impressed with your answers today.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, I'm really fucking impressed with my questions because I'm completely hungover. So I don't know what's better. But what?
The best questions ever. These are awesome.
It's been a lot of
fun.
I think this has been a lot of fun. I like to have fun, and you've got some great answers, and I mean that. Do you have any idea what color hair is going to be next? That'd be my last question, or is it just going to stay the same?
It'll probably stay the same for the next little while.
All right. I will share some of your events as well. I like to do that. And
cool.
Especially when you're in Toronto. And that's awesome. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you so much. This is very nice. I appreciate you doing this. I know you're busy and you have lots of artists to choose from, I'm sure. So
I've got nothing to fucking do. Come on, face it.
Oh god!
I'm doing this from bed.
Yeah. Oh, you're funny. That's so great.
All right, thanks, hon.
All right.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Visit Shane on Facebook at Shane C. Neal Media Personality. On Instagram at ShaneCNeal.com.